Okay, so today's date is the last day of February, the 28th, 2005. This is Tracy Godek. And the lesson we're going to do tonight comes from the Alexander Yanai series. And it's a series of lessons named after a place in which Moshe taught ATMs to the public, kind of towards the tail end of his life. And they've been translated from Hebrew, and they're accessible now to those of us who speak English. And this is number 322, for those of you who have the reference. And it's actually called in the book, Sitting and Lengthening the Arm. So, we're going to do a little modification to it, as I always do, though. So, we work in sitting mainly in this lesson. So, could you come to sitting? We work in the position of long sitting, which means your legs are long and they're spread apart. Now, this position can be challenging on a good day for almost anyone. So, what I want you to do is, if you're finding this position challenging, I want you to roll up your blanket a little bit or your mat a little bit and just boost underneath the ischium, underneath the pelvis or the sits bones, and let yourself boost up a little bit. So you can play tonight with how much you feel you need underneath your pelvis to make that comfortable. You are going to have a hand behind you for support, but the idea is, if your static position is one of a lot of slouch all the time, if you have a low back issue, that's going to be difficult for you, so the boost will help. Okay, so legs apart. In the classic lesson, Moshe has no boost, nothing. You're just sitting on the floor. So maybe tonight you want to go back and forth and see what it's like without something underneath and something with, whatever you need. We're going to elongate the right arm in front at shoulder height. Begin lengthening the arm forward and then retreat a little bit. Put the left hand behind you for support a little bit on the floor. You can be on the fingertips, you can be on the knuckles, you can be on the full hand, wherever you're at. But basically the motion is one of a lengthening the arm forward, and you let your back and pelvis take you forward to lengthen that arm. And then you retreat a little bit. And then you lengthen it forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. So you're going to have to just do micro movements if it's hard. Just small. Very small. And take a lot of breaks. Meaning resting on your back if this is difficult for you. Rest your arm for a moment. Now, sitting here, most of us are not equal on both ischium. Let's find out where. You can call them ischium, you can call them ischial tuberosities, you can call them sits bones. They feel like elbows, and there's two of them. If you would place your fingers right underneath one tush and sit on it, you'll feel something that feels bony like an elbow. Locate it and take your fingers out, and then take the other fingers, put them underneath, and actually sit on your hand, and you'll feel again something that feels like an elbow. Those are the ischial tuberosities or sits bones. Most of us don't sit equally on both hips or equally on them. We're usually weighted a little more towards one or the other. The interesting phenomena of this lesson has to do with teaching you a little more equality of the pelvis. So let's explore inequality. Let's take the right arm, aim it over the right leg a little bit, and lengthen it over the right leg. As you do so, can you lift the left ischia a little bit? Keep the left hand behind. It can actually help you a little bit. And so you're lengthening on the diagonal forward over the right. And can you feel how you can tip your pelvis and weight shift a little bit so the left unweights, the left sits bone unweights slightly? Uh-huh. That's it. And we're really about shifting the pelvis and lengthening forward, not so much keeping the pelvis in immobility and doing it all from the back. That's right. Good. Let that rest. Bring your arm back down. By the way, if it feels really hard eventually to keep your arm out, that's primarily because your spine's not under it. i.e. you're retreating your spine into slouch, for lack of a better word, and your arms out there. That ends up being a lot of weight for your arm, but when you can get your chest and your spine underneath the arm, it just supports that reaching forward. Let's aim the right arm over the left leg now. Put the left hand behind for support, whether it's on fingertips or knuckles or full hand. And now notice when you go that way, the right ischium is going to lift, or the right bone lifts a little bit as you shift up and over the left a little bit. Good. Now, go aim once right, once left. So when you aim to the right, the left ischia lifts. When you aim to the left, vice versa. That's it. A lot of work on the back, by the way. This is a great back strengthening exercise. It's very demanding. Good. Rest. Do you feel it? Rest. Lie down on your back. Yeah. So small doses is good, because we're not used to having our backs be very strong. So I invite you, anytime you need to come out of the position and rest, that you do so. Because for many of us, just being in this position, this long sit position with the legs open, it's like that dancer stretch for the inner thighs. Just sitting there and maintaining uprightness can be a demand for many. So in and out to take care of yourself. Good. Come on back up into the position. Long sit, legs apart. Not so much apart that you're at maximum stress or strain, but apart. And now see if you can kind of wiggle those sit bones back so you really can maintain sitting, whether you prop them up or whether you just kind of wiggle so that you're not in a super slouch here, but that you have room to go back and forth on the pelvis. The pelvis can rock and roll like a little ball. If you're all slouched or all forward, it has nowhere to rock. We want some sort of happy medium. The right hand again, outstretched, lengthen it forward, and left hand's behind for help. It's a little support behind, and it actually can help let you come back onto the left hand and then go forward, and it helps. That left hand is in behind helping. Good. Now go once right, once left, lifting the sits bones. These are micro movements for many of us, just small movements, but I want you to feel the shift of the pelvis. You have to work the belly. As you shift forward, the belly comes forward. It doesn't retreat. Now, see what happens if you keep the arm dead center. And keeping it dead center, lengthen it forward, and one time lift the right ischium, one time lift the left. See if you can do it by keeping it center, not letting it go side to side, but keep it center. But yet you're doing something side to side with your pelvis. It's a big demand. Yeah, you want to rest. Roll on your back and rest. So Moshe's asking for the idea that we use a lot in life, which is we hold the gaze straight, or we have something we need to reach for, and we let the spine underneath swivel, move, shift, whatever it does to serve that steadiness. That's one of the beauties of the human structure, is we have the ability to pivot and twist and be dead on center with our hand-eye coordination. So, interesting ideas. Roll up to sit again. And again, in sitting, I ask you to do something, it'll seem a little funny, but often when we sit, we're actually in a little bit of a tuck, so we're not even at neutral. We're in a tuck. You really want the pelvis to be neutral. So sometimes you actually need to take your hand and you need to scoop underneath that sits bone and kind of make it go back. It's almost like you're taking your tailbone out from underneath you, and that will put you in neutral. Yeah, so that you can maintain upright. And you'll know that because you'll be sitting here and your back suddenly won't feel like it's working that hard. Right? It'll be like, oh, I'm just sitting. Because the floor places a demand on the hamstrings, right? And on the leg. This is a demand position. So you want to try and find, where are you neutral? Where can you just sit here? And if you need to bump up the tush a little bit with a roll blanket or something, go ahead and do so. Left hand in front, right hand's behind. On the floor for support, knuckles, fingers, flat hand, whatever you need. And you're lengthening now the left arm forward. Now feel as you lengthen it forward, you're rocking on those sit bones a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a micro movement, but that gives you the lengthening of the hand in this position. You have no legs to give you the lengthening of the hand. You have pelvis as your main support. So the pelvis rocks forward a little bit. It's almost like arching. That's it. Now, rest for a moment. Maybe lean back on your hands and rest. Let the back just have your hands for support. You can even slouch if you want, you know, just let the back go. Because you can feel how much back musculature is working to do this movement. It's very interesting for the back. It's demanding. Now, let's take, we were with the left hand, right? Left hand diagonal over the left leg. Reach it on the diagonal. Let the right sits bone lift a little bit, i.e. support more over the right. Weight shift over... Sorry, did I get my rights and lefts confused? I think I did. Yes. Weight shift over that left leg. Weight shift over that left hip as you reach. Good. Now do the other side. Make the left arm go over the right leg. Now you will weight shift over your right sits bone. The left will unweight slightly. Mm-hmm. You're bringing the belly forward. That's what's happening. The pelvis is rocking. It's not the part, top part of the back. Everything forward from the hips and from the pelvis. That's right. Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Take a break. Rest on your back. Ah, that's it. Rest on your back. It's too hot. Okay, I'll turn that down. There's a tremendous amount of insight that you can get from this lesson because this is what we do all the time in sitting. We're at desks a lot of the time, paying bills, doing computer, on the phone. And we have these little weight shifts. Sometimes some of us sit on one sit bone or one ischial tuberosity all day. And when the demand is to go over to the other, we don't. We do it somewhere funky in the back instead of integrating a little bit of the pelvis and the weight shift in the hips. And then we run into some trouble. So lots of learning can be made tonight in this lesson, and the floor is going to give you a very clear picture of what you do and do not do on your pelvis. Okay, come back up again. Long sit. You can come in any way that's comfortable. You can roll to your side. You can do whatever is safely good for you to come back up into the position of long sit. We're working with the left arm. So once again, place the left arm ahead. You're going to lengthen it forward. The idea is someone almost like pulling on your arm. You're lengthening it forward. Right hand's behind for support. Right hand's behind, whether it's on your fingertips or knuckles. And lengthen the arm forward. And lengthen once on the diagonal over one leg, once on the diagonal over the other, and you'll feel a little weight shift with your pelvis. If you don't, you should. That's it. We're not going down to the floor, we're just lengthening. Whatever that means to you, as if someone were to pull your arm. Now let your arm be in the middle. Again, dead center middle. Middle, lengthen middle. Now see if each time you lengthen middle, you can choose one side of your pelvis to lift, then rock it back, you'll be on two, then choose the other one. But you're trying to make, like a bow and arrow, very accurate middle. Big demand on the back as you do that. You're still lengthening forward. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And go back to lengthening once over one leg, once over the other. So the arm's going to kind of cascade side to side. That's lovely. Good. And please rest. When I was doing this lesson and prepping it, I had this image at one point of the Sistine Chapel. It's a very famous part of it where God is reaching out to Adam's hand, and the quality of the hands has been represented in a lot of postcards and calendars and that kind of stuff. So if you know that picture, the quality of the hand is extremely soft. When we start to get our pelvis and our ribs and our spine aligned with the reach, the quality can soften up. So when you go back and you're going to do this again, I want you to think of the quality of your hand. That will help relax your shoulder and your chest and let everything just be a little more at ease. It does not have to be a big movement tonight, but let's organize it. Okay, so roll back up to sit. Let's go back to the right arm. We started with the right arm. Long sit, legs are spread. And a few times, just reach once over one leg, reach once over the other. And again, the quality of the hand. As if, does everyone know the reference I'm talking about in the Sistine Chapel? Has anyone not seen it? Right? Everyone's seen it. It's pretty.
Not in person.
Not in person, I know. I wish too, right? So there's that quality of that reach hand, right? It's just a soft hand coming out. There you go. And then retreats and then reaches again. It's because the spine is guiding the reach. It's not an arm. It is an arm, but the arm is an extension. And is shifting from the pelvis allows you to make that extension. Now go forward. Reach straight forward. That's it. Let the other arm help you in back. Uh-huh. That's lovely. And let the arm go. Rest on your hands. Put your hands behind you. You can even slouch a little bit. Let your arms hold you like a house on stilts. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe make your legs go a little closer if you need to kind of release your inner thighs. Good. Yeah. Good, good, good. Okay, now come up to your neutral place again. So legs are spread. Neutral. You may need to adjust the sit bones a little bit to even get yourself neutral, or roll up your towel a little bit so that you can even be here and let your pelvis have some play. Let's do the left arm again. Reach the left arm once over the left leg. Feel as you do that, the right sit bone lifts slightly or rocks and unweights, and then you rock it the other way. Feel the pelvis. That's the entire of the lesson, is the pelvis. Yes. Even if it's just a smidgen, that's what you're after. No more reach than your pelvis can do, right? Make it integrate. Uh-huh. Good. And then go center a few times. Pelvis. Rolling on your hips. Your hips are balls. We're taking the socket and spinning the socket around the balls, i.e. your sit bones are moving. Your pelvis is moving. Your belly's coming forward, going back. Good. Rest. You may want to roll your blanket up and give a little boost so that your neutral isn't so much like that. Yeah, because otherwise then if you're in a real slouched position, just even from start, so much work on your back and you'll just be miserable the whole lesson. So we don't want that, because nobody learns in misery. For sure. Good. Resting. Good. Okay. Come up to sit again. Let's do something slightly different. But we will maintain the same idea of having the legs spread, long sit, legs spread. Now, in this position, put your arms akimbo. That's like your hands on your hips, so your thumbs are behind, right? Your elbows are out, right? There you are, right? We're going to do a movement with the elbows and the spine. I'm going to have you round your spine like an egg, right? Go backwards. Let the elbows come forward as you do that. And then take the spine forward, push your belly out, it's like arching, and bring your elbows back. That's the movement. Uh-huh. And notice you're rocking on your pelvis as you do this. Going back, elbows come forward. Going forward with the spine, elbows go back. That's lovely. Rounding backwards, and then undoing that and popping forward. Good. Rest for a moment. Rest on your hands behind you. There's this toy. I have a young child, and there's this toy. I recommend it. They're called poppers. Do you know this toy? Julie's going, yeah. Does anyone else know what a popper is? Okay, so basically it's a ball that they cut in half. And you invert it, right? And it goes from concave, and then it pops into convex, and then you invert it and you make some spring on it. Anyway, this is kind of like a popper, right? Because we're kind of going one way and then we're popping the other way, and then we're going one way and then we're popping the other way. It's just, I don't know, it's a reference. If you have anyone listening to this CD, if you have young kids, it's a great party toy. Okay, once again, come up. Actually, I think all adults should go to the toy store every once in a while and just look in those bins that are like, you know, dollar and below bins. There's some really fun stuff for your desk. Everyone should visit a toy store at least once a year. Okay, hands on your hips. Thumbs behind. And once again, go into that idea of letting your back round backwards. The spine goes backwards. And then the spine goes forward. You push your belly out. It's like arching. The spine goes forward. Elbows come together in front, towards each other in front as you round backwards. And elbows go back together backwards as your spine goes forward. Now, put the head with it. As you round, put the head down, drop that chin. As you come forward and the elbows go behind, let your chin lift away from your chest and gaze up. So now you're looking down and you're looking up with the movement. So we're getting everything in complete congruence. Yeah, and still it's demanding. Even in congruence, it's demanding. That's it. Uh-huh. Good. Shall we take a rest? Roll on your back. Come on up to the same position. So again, it's long sit, legs apart. Get your neutral, find your neutral. That's it, put your hands on your hips. Hands on your hips. There you go. Okay, begin doing what we just were doing, bringing the spine backwards, rounding, letting the chin go down, arms go forward, and then the vice versa, you pop out of it, you look up. So the congruence, everything in congruence. That's lovely. Next time you're rounded down and your chin is down, stay there. Now, bring everything forward but leave your chin to your chest. Uh-huh. Now when you round down, look up and let your chin draw away from your chest. So when you go forward, your chin drops to your chest. That's your arch. What I mean by forward is the spine goes forward. As you round backwards, the chin lifts away. That's it. Funny, huh? That's it. Uh-huh. Are we clear on that? That's the old pattern. Yes, that's the new pattern. It's very non-habitual. Strange, isn't it? So as you round backwards, the elbows come forward, the chin lifts. As you come forward, the elbow goes back, the chin drops to the chest. Yeah. Whew. What was Moshe thinking? That's it. Good. Go back to putting everything in congruence. So when you go backwards and you round down, let the chin drop. As you go forward, let the chin lift. Yep. That's it. Slowly. Good. And now take a break. Lay on your back. So let's do something on your back for a moment. Let's take the chin a little more towards the chest and then take the chin away from the chest. So your head will sort of be sliding on the floor. When you take your chin to your chest, can you look down? When you tip your chin away from your chest, can you look up? So these don't have to be your maximal movements. It's more about the pattern than anything else. But know that your chin and your chest are changing dimensions in space. You're looking down as the chin goes a little towards your chest. You're looking up as it goes away. Now switch your eyes. Take your chest, chin to your chest and look up. Take your chin away from the chest and look down. And do that pattern. That's it. Now, if you've been doing that pattern with your eyes open, close your eyes. If you've been doing it with your eyes closed, open your eyes. So you were still in the opposite eye to head. Chin goes down, you're looking up. Chin goes away from the chest, you're looking down. Good. Rest for a moment. Go back to what would be maybe more habitual or congruent. I shouldn't even use the word congruent because I don't know if I actually agree with that word. But go ahead and let the chin go down to the chest and look down at the same time. Chin goes away and you look up. It's just a pattern. We have many patterns we can do. There may be times when your eyes have to look down and your chin goes up. Good. Rest for a moment. So one of my assistant trainers in my training, I remember he was talking about find an everyday activity, you know, where you're chin goes up and your eyes go down, right? You know, so he said, women do it. So that was our clue, right? So he sent us all home like with that riddle, like what's an everyday activity? So I'll tell you the answer at the end. Or maybe next week. But there is something that, you know, women do that men don't normally do that requires that. Okay, and if you can't wait till next week, I'll tell you at the end of class. Come up to sit. So keeping that funny pattern, let's go long sit again. Legs are apart. Let's go back to where everything goes, we'll say, in tandem or together. So let the arms akimbo, thumbs are behind. Feel the pelvis. Yeah, you're resting right on the pelvis, right on the hip bones. And you're going to round your back backwards, look down, the chin goes down, the elbows go forward. And you're going to take yourself and pop out forward, elbows go back, eyes and chin go up. Right? We have that pattern. Now, keep feeling that pattern. You are going to keep everything, including the eyes, in this pattern, but you're going to change the head. So, when you go backwards, elbows come forward, eyes go down, but chin goes away. As you come forward, elbows go behind, chin goes down, eyes go up. Does that make sense? So everything the same except the head changes. So go back to the initial pattern. right? As you go backwards, you slouch backwards or the back goes backwards, elbows come forward, eyes go down, chin goes up. Now pop forward, elbows go back. Oh, I'm losing it. Head goes down, eyes go up. It's one of those things you have to feel, right? So your eyes are moving opposite your head, and your head is out of pattern. Yeah, go back to what's more familiar with everything kind of going the same way. Everything kind of going the same way. Make everything go the same way. Everything, elbows go forward as you go back. Elbow goes back as you pop the chest and belly forward. Spine comes forward. That's it. Now, everything's being the same, head, eyes, everything. Please just change the eyes. So when your head is down, chin down, you'll be looking up. When the chin is up, you'll be looking down. Just what we did on the floor a moment ago. Looking up when the chin's down. Looking down when the chin is away. That's lovely. Good. Now go back to the easier pattern of everything in sync and see how it is. That's lovely. That's lovely. Where are your hips? Where are your hips? I see your upper spine, but where are your hips? Right? Where's that pelvic movement? Come back. That's it. And now go forward. There's the hips. Go back. Go back, 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 back. Go forward, 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 forward. There you go. You may need to boost up a little bit to get a little more neutral so you have a little more forward and back. Okay, rest everyone. Take a well-deserved rest. That's so demanding. I tell you though, did anyone see the Academy Awards last night? Yeah? Raise a foot, raise a hand if anyone did. So Hilary Swank had this killer dress. I mean, this was amazing. If you'll see it on People Magazine or something. But her whole back, whew, was exposed. And you know, she did the movie Million Dollar Baby where she was training as a fighter. And I tell you, this lesson could give you a back like Hilary Swank's. You have to have a back to wear a dress like that. Okay. Roll back up. Legs long. Long sit. Legs apart. Good. Take your right hand behind you for support. Your left hand is going to elongate over your left leg. So you're going to begin that reach again. Now, every time you elongate that left arm forward, I'd like you to look over left, look more left. And then as you go back to your neutral, your gaze is neutral. That's it. So every time you lengthen the arm, you look left. Lovely, lovely. Do you notice how your right ischium or your right sits bone can lift a little bit too as you do that? Look left. Now what happens when you look right? Lengthen the arm and look away from the arm. Look right. Do you still lift that right ischium? What are you supposed to do there? So figure that out. Maybe. Look, 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 look. There you go. Good. Look right. That's it. That's it. That's it. You've all done this movement before. Rest for a moment. Maybe Indian style or however you need to rest your back. So this is the movement when you need an extra 2 inches because the sock has fallen behind the washing machine, right? Or you're in a narrow crevice, right? Where you're reaching, reaching, and you can see the sock, but you can't get it. So you turn your head away, right? And you get the sock. So you'll feel, it's an interesting idea, your arm actually gets a little bit longer, it lengthens more when you turn your head away. That's why we do it when we try and retrieve the sock. Or something under the bed, or behind a shelf, something hard to reach, where we actually can't fit our head in the space. Yeah. So try again. Left arm. And just try elongating it over the left leg and looking once over to the left and once the next time you reach once to the right. There you are. Lovely. Lovely. That's beautiful. That's good. So rest for a moment. So there is a congruency that's possible with the entire spine with this motion. There's a congruency. So Suzanne will look at you. So watch Suzanne for a moment. And I'm just going to, sorry for you guys listening to this on CD, just follow along the best that you can. So what I'm noticing with this one student is that I can see the line, just do the motion, Suzanne. I can see she's got this whole, the pelvis is generating this movement. There's a spin, there's a weight shift, there's, no matter which way she goes, she's got the belly, the hara, the belly button integrated, right? Suzanne, can you do it badly and freeze your pelvis into concrete? Freeze it. You know, make your back do all the work, right? She can barely do it because she knows how to do it the other way, right? But you can, so let's all try. We'll freeze in concrete. Don't let, just like, oh, I can't, I'm not even weight shifting the pelvis. And one of the ways that your pelvis gets frozen in concrete is when you sit with yourself tucked. Because then your hips are out of play. So if you all could kind of sit badly, freeze that, and then attempt to lengthen and feel that your lower back or mid back will be taking all the hit. And then if you have to turn your spine and turn your head, your mid back or somewhere will take the hit. It'll be very, very demanding. Now don't freeze in concrete. Let the pelvis, let that ischium lift. Let there be a weight shift. Let there be a congruent line through the spine. So you're not slouching or humping or anything. You're just humping, I mean that word by making like a bow or anything. It's just the spine. The spine actually lengthens. The spine lengthens. So, yes, I'm going to hold your hand. I will. The spine lengthens. Slower. Less. 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 Just go straight to me. Spine. There you go. Make the spine guide the arm, not... There you go, rest. So does that make sense? So here's a reach. Sorry again for you on CD. You should come to class. Here's a reach where everything's fixed in concrete, right? And I'm reaching from my back, right? The here is the nexus of it. And here's a lengthening reach. It's a very, very different. There's like almost as if you can imagine the spine going... and getting longer, like a bunch of dominoes, like you could just pull it longer. And you can only do that when you seat it through the hip and when you get the pelvis going. Then the spine will be a congruent length. Want to try the other side. So it's your right arm. Bring your right arm over your right leg. And you're going to see, first of all, that the left ischium lift a little bit. Notice there's a little turn on the hips because you're on a diagonal here, right? So you're not completely straight. That left ischium is lifting a little bit. Look to the right as you do that. Look over your right shoulder. Every time you lengthen, turn your head. Look over the right shoulder. Turn your head. Turn your head. Something over there that you want. It's not in the direction you're reaching, by the way. Can you turn your head a little bit more over the shoulder? Look right. Now, some of you are looking left. That's going to come next. Yeah. Good. Rest your arm for a moment. So it's an interesting phenomenon that happens for many of us. Okay. We're so locked in with the arm and the head, you know, like together. It's like there's no differentiation there, right? So as soon as I say to look right, some of you, the arm is swinging exactly with the head, right? So no, keep the arm over the leg and let the head look in relation to the arm, right? They don't have to marry this. It's the idea that the nose can separate from the pointing of the hand. So that's part of what Moshe is after too. So once again, the right arm out over the right leg, look right. Differentiate the neck. That's it. And then you look center, and then you look right. And when you've done that a few times, try looking left as you elongate the arm. I could say as you elongate the spine and do all sorts of things with the spine, right? Look once right, once left. That's it. Good. When you've had enough, I'll know because you'll lie down. It's too handy. Hard to get the spine underneath oneself. Good. Rest, rest, rest. Just think how easy it's going to be to sit in your car as you drive home compared to this. So we do a very demanding thing, and then you do something that you didn't have to do, i.e. sit in a chair. It gets so much easier. Okay, come on back up. Let's do the hands akimbo again, resting on your hips with thumbs behind. Good. Now, we were doing a pattern before where the elbows went forward as you took your spine backwards and rounded. The elbows went back together behind you as you pop out and you bring your spine forward. So same pattern, basically. We're just going to add a change in the head. When you go back, look over your right shoulder. When you go forward, look over your left. Okay? So you're still, the spine is going back and forth like that popper, but now every time you go back, you're looking over your right shoulder, you're looking right, and then as you're going forward, you're looking left. So, Liat, this can be done in a chair, too. It can, but if you need to sit, you can do this a lot less demand in sitting on a chair. So, yeah, just it's an idea if you want to do that. Good. Look over, look. So the head, can you make the head a free swivel? The head just swivels. Oh, it swivels that way. And the head swivels, and it's there. It is, because you're changing height, you're doing all, it basically is a corkscrew. Yeah, you bet. It's on a diagonal, yes. But see, it's the idea, can the head be free at every single point? It can just swivel. Yeah, you all need a break. Rest on your back. Yes, you're right. Okay, come back up. Long sit, legs apart, arms akimbo, on the hips, thumbs behind. Go back to that same idea of the elbows coming forward, the elbows coming backward, and now just switch the way you're looking. So as you round backwards and the elbows come forward, you'll be looking over the left side. As you pop out forward, you'll look over the right shoulder. By the way, is there any weight shift on the pelvis as you do this? Does one ischium unweight a little bit? There you go. Good. Switch the head. So switch the swiveling of the head. Whatever you were doing, change it. Look over the other shoulder as you pop forward. Now let's do this. Let's go back and let the chin just go down. And as we pop forward, let's look over one shoulder. Go back down, chin just centers down to chest. Pop forward, look over the other shoulder. And take your pelvis with you as you do that. The pelvis does not necessarily stay in the center. It weight shifts a little bit. Look, swivel the head. That's lovely. Gently, gently. That's it. Elbows. Elbows go together in the back, together towards the front. There's elbow movement in this too. As if you didn't have enough to think about. Good. Please rest. Roll on your back. Take a full rest. Nice work. A few weeks ago, we did a lesson that we called wringing the arms. So wringing like W-R-I-N-G, like a washcloth, where the arms twist and one lengthened, one shortened. Let's do a pattern that's similar without all the twisting, but there's a lengthening and shortening pattern. Come back up. This will be familiar if you did that lesson, and I reference it on CD for those of you who want to go back to it. It's called Wringing the Arms. Oh, sorry guys, that one didn't record. You'll get it somewhere else. Look for it. It's called Wringing the Arms. Okay, so once again, sit your neutral. Bring your right arm forward and your left arm back. This time it's not touching the ground, so they're just split like you're cross-country skiing, right? Lengthen the forward arm, which is your right arm, right? Lengthen the forward arm and then lengthen the backward arm. That's it. Lengthen the forward arm and lengthen the backward arm. That's it. Use your pelvis. Yes, there's a rounding forward like the popper, right? Good. Can you look at the lengthening arm? So if it's the right arm lengthening forward, you look at it. When it's the left arm lengthening back, you look at it. Looking at the lengthening arm. Uh-huh. And the only twisting as much as is okay. You don't have to do too much twisting. It's not quite like the wringing, but the idea of lengthening is good. Can you take a break in sitting? Yeah. Take a break there. Good. So it's a very interesting dynamic that Dr. Feldenkrais has us doing, right? Which is, my head, as I'm moving, if you just did the movement of the head, it's on a pie, swiveling from 12 to 6, right? The head's going this way. Oh, I want to see that arm. 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 I want to see that. Right? That's what the head is doing. Meanwhile, underneath it, all this other stuff is going on, right? So I want you to repeat what we just did with the right arm forward, left arm back, and see if you can tune in that the head is just doing basically a semicircle of looking forward, looking back, looking forward, looking back, okay? Always looking at the lengthening arm. And see if you can, despite all the stuff that your spine and pelvis is doing, really feel that you can organize the head to do that looking forward and back. Uh-huh. Lovely. So try it without the spin. Yeah. See if that's okay. Uh-huh. Now most of us, when we go back, you're probably a little more on your left ischia, your left sitz bone. Because if you were on both, it's very demanding with spinal mobility, but it's possible. So you negotiate, right? You're probably on both when you go forward, but when you go back, many of us have to kind of weight bear a little more on the left, but you can see if you get enough twist and mobility in your spine, it's possible to go back equally. But don't strain. It's just an idea. Could rest your arms. Rest in sitting somehow where you can let your back take a little break. Breathe. Yeah, this is a one. It's easy to keep holding your breath because it's so demanding. Without weights, think about it. We're not even doing weights. Feels like it though. Try rolling your carpet up all the way. and see what that's like for yourself. Good. We're going to still work with the right arm. Right arm forward, left arm back. So spread your legs, sit your neutral. Right arm forward, right, left arm back. But now we're going to look at the shortening arm. Always looking at the arm that's shortening. That's it. That's a little bit better, huh? With more carpet. And so there's not a lot of strain. You're going to keep up with the amount that the hips and pelvis can do. So if that's an inch, that's an inch. Okay. Right? You know? So you just make it so that you learn the pattern, not so much that you're straining the back. Good. You all need a break. Rest. Rest on your back. Everyone's stopping. I'm like over in the corner of the room. I look and no one's doing the movement. They're all too tired. Go ahead and rest on your back. So that's the thing. When you're just up here talking, you forget. Good. Come on up to sitting again. Open your legs a bit, comfortable. Let's take the other arm in front, which now would be your left arm, and your right arm isn't back. And you're going to lengthen the right arm forward, lengthen the left arm backward. It's like a retreat. Always look at the lengthening arm. That's lovely. There's that pauper mentality. So, what do I mean by that? Can y'all look at me for a second? So, I wish I had brought the pauper, but I can't find it. It's in some toy bin. But, so, the pauper mentality is this convex to concave, right? That is part of what I mean by pauper, right? So, it's very easy in this to make ourselves like a diving board, right? And now all we're doing is just pivoting at the hip like a diving board. But there's more than that. There's a little bit of this kind of concave, convex going on at the same time. So try not to just take it just from the hips. Although the hips are doing that, there's still an idea of the spine growing forward and the spine coming backwards and shortening a little bit. Okay? So there's still some of that going on whilst you're looking at the lengthening arm. It's complicated. Yeah, give it a try. It's more complicated in words than it really is. Gently. Don't have to go very big. They don't have to be equal. It's just, oh, that one's lengthening. Oh, that one's lengthening. Notice, are you more on the right sits bone as you lengthen the right arm behind, or are you equal? Are you equal when you come forward? Rest. Good. Rest, rest. Yeah, in any way, shape, or fashion you need to rest in. So, I suggested to one person, I have not prepped the lesson this way, but I see no reason why it couldn't be done this way. I'm getting a stool. And so, if you're listening to this at home, and this is just so demanding for you, I'm curious to sit on a stool. I'm going to have one of my students do it. Julie, you get a stool, and we'll try the stool. Just sit on the stool. Okay, everybody sit up, and once again, take the left arm front, right arm back. So if you're sitting on your stool or your chair, you want a chair without a back so you can put the arm behind you. Go ahead, and you're going to lengthen each arm, lengthen the back arm backwards, the front arm forwards. That's it. Now, can you look towards the shortening side? The arm that's shortening? Yes. The arm that's shortening? Yeah, that's easier, isn't it, on the stool? way easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, most people do, actually. Moshe just sets up this incredible demand. But, you know, you go back and forth, you negotiate. Yeah. Yeah. That's lovely. Looking towards the shortening arm, the head just simply pivots, free head, on ball bearings. It just pivots. Lovely. Good. Rest your arms for a moment. Ah, good. Good. Wonderful. Okay. Go ahead and stand up for a moment. We're going to do a motion that my very first yoga teacher was this lady on tape, this German lady called Ruth somebody or other. Oh, she was so funny. But she had us do this thing, and I'll never forget it because it felt so good. So this is a deviation from what we're going to do in Feldenkrais, but we're making it part of the lesson. Stand with your feet parallel, and you're going to take your arms one forward, one back, then bend your knees and switch your arms. So it's a bit like cross-country skiing, and you're going to look forward as you do that. Bend your knees. Ah, so you're slicing space with your arms. Maybe it has a dance name. Does it have a movement, a name in dance? Now get some momentum going. Yeah, and just have fun with it. Maybe you need to spread your feet apart a little to make it nicer. I don't know. You see. There's that little pulse, that lengthening. That's nice. Good. Doesn't that feel good? It's a great thing to do in the morning. Yeah. Lovely. It's good for circulation. Yeah. Ruth was on to something. It's like swimming. Rest your arms. Okay. So, sit down again on the floor, and we're going to do a pattern similar that Moshe put in this lesson, where the arms are going to cross that way, and it's an interesting phenomena. This is can be the last pattern that we do, depending on our time, and I think given our time, it will be. Okay, so you're sitting, again, long sit, legs open, neutral. One arm is going to go forward, one arm is going to go back. Let's just say, for the sake of being symmetrical as a class, right arm forward, left arm back. So you're going to do one cycle of bringing the right arm, lengthening it forward, looking at it, bringing the left arm backward, looking at it. So do that with me. The right arm forward, look at it. The left arm lengthens back, look at it. Good. Now switch the arms. Left arm forward, right arm back. Lengthen, look towards the left lengthening, look towards the right lengthening, switch the arms. Look, so you're always looking towards the lengthening arm. You do one cycle and then you switch the arms. Shoom, boom. Lengthen, look towards the lengthening, and then switching. Ah, lengthening, and then switch. That's the idea. Uh-huh. That's nice. Lengthen it. And switch. Shoo. Shoo. And switch. That's right. You find a little pattern to that. Uh-huh. And unbeknownst to you, rest for a moment. Rest. Support your back or rest in a way that your back can rest. Unbeknownst to you, what is happening, it's the beauty of Feldenkrais. I'm sharing the secrets. Feldenkrais doesn't say this. If you read Alexander Yonai, he doesn't tell you any of this. He's just, you know, a man of many little words. But it's interesting. I want you guys to know what is happening is the head is swiveling one way, is swiveling the other way. It's your head is doing all this, not exactly 360, but approaching it, whilst you do this very interesting cross-patterning, which we do when we walk, right? So one of the outcomes of training yourself this way, other than, yes, working your back muscles for sure, organizing the lengthening of your spine, but it's like, how can I, no matter what I do, have my head be on a ball bearing, so that if I have to pay attention, I'm on the money and I can support where my head needs to be. So it's differentiating the idea of eyes and head and having the body service. That's a very interesting concept. Maybe you didn't even intend it, but that's what I see out of this lesson as sort of like a secondary benefit other than also very much strengthening your spine. Okay. Legs apart again. This time, you're going to do one cycle One arm's in front, one arm's back. Just choose. One arm in front, one arm back. Do one cycle of looking at the shortening arm. And then switch the arms. So you're always looking at the shortening arm. Slowly. Remember your popper mentality, right? There's a little bit of the popper in it. That's it. That's nice. Good. Go back to looking at the lengthening arm. Maybe switch your arms. Yeah, just rest if you need. You don't need to switch your arms because they're actually switching by themselves. But look towards the lengthening arm. The lengthening arm. And then you switch it and you're at the lengthening arm. The lengthening arm. Good. Rest. Go on your back. Take a full rest. So if you're not used to working your back like this, which most of us aren't, you may have, you know, if you've ever done abdominal work, like you join a gym and all of a sudden you take a class and the next day you're like, whoa, I really worked those muscles. You're probably going to feel that in your back a little bit just because they've been accessed in a way they're not habitually accessed. It won't be like, it'll be more like muscle work pain than frank pain. But that's probably to be expected a little bit, especially in your mid-back. So don't be alarmed if that comes out of this lesson. It's just kind of wakening those places up. Let's do the very first thing that we started with. Come to sitting, long sit, legs apart, and let's just see if it got any better. Take the right arm out straight in front of you and elongate it, lengthen the arm. And see if you can lengthen the arm and lift one ischium and then lengthen the arm and lift the other ischium, the sits bones, right? See if you can make dead center with the arm as you do that. So no matter what the spine is doing underneath, you can reach it forward. Try the other side. Yeah? Look at how good you are. Yeah. It's different, eh? It's a big difference. Yeah. Gently. Gently. Good. That's just for your information. Did it change? Come on up to stand. Good. And just feel yourself standing. Last time we did 4 points, right? One of the things that happens with 4 points, and this is very similar, very related to 4 points of support, was the arms suddenly hang. Right, the arms hang. Now when you walk, there is like a corkscrew motion that goes up from the pelvis up and the arms hang on that. So as you walk, where in your spine do you feel a little corkscrew motion? In fact, I brought a corkscrew. Thought I would show it before now, but let me get it out and we can look at it. I love little props. Okay. So, come over to the little stool here. Have you ever seen a barber pole? You know, the red and white poles and they spin around? It's kind of wild. So here's the corkscrew. And you're going to look between the cork and the top. Right? And just watch how that, it almost appears to move. It's just, spirals are fascinating, right? So there's that, so this is all we're going to, no more of a thing than that, just noticing that motion of the screw. When you walk now, feel where in your mid-back, between the blades, where is your corkscrew? Do you have a corkscrew higher than the low back, in other words? Right? And the arms hang. They may go with momentum, but you don't propel them because you're propelling them. You're letting them respond to the corkscrew. Yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it. And when you corkscrew like that, you can give your gaze very steady, because you're allowing everything to rotate around and do whatever underneath. And that allows for a very steady head, which is part of what we humans can do. Yeah. And it often takes shock absorption too. When we don't corkscrew, we hit harder, right? So now there's more resonance in the discs, right? They're our primary shock absorption system. And the feet, go ahead. The feet aren't crisscrossing, right? The feet are just ahead because the spine has that ability now to do something different. Yeah? So look for those things. We're going to continue to cultivate them in this series. Okay, enough for tonight. Thank you.